Hallelujah. To God be all the glory for the grace of God that's on Living Waters and has been for decades to minister to the Jewish people. We thank God for Living Waters Church, for Joel and Carol League, for Stephen and Delisa Riley, the Israel team committee that has kept prayer burning, that has continually had a burnt offering before the Lord on behalf of Israel. We bless you profusely, and may the Lord add his blessings. Amen.
Little cup holder, that's neat. All right. Well, praise God. We're so glad to be able to have some here this morning. Can you imagine if this kind of thing was happening during Jesus' time? He'd just say, peace be still, shalom, and it'd all be gone. I was just trying to think of during Jesus' time and this going on and him spitting on the ground and reaching down and making mud and rubbing it on somebody's eyes. Can you imagine how people would freak out if that happened? I'm not going to do that this morning. We believe that we honor the house rules and the rules of this state. And thank God for that he is watching over us. Hallelujah. We declare a shield of protection over us this morning. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let me just mention a few things about the CDs. We've done several, I think, since we've been here. And let me just mention, we do have a free gift for those who haven't signed up for our email you would come by the table and sign up. We send out once a month, sometimes it's once every 2 months, so we don't flood you with emails, but we like for people to keep up with us. One of the ways that you're able to pray for us that way, this particular DVD that we'd like to bless you with, Karen put together, she had a real heart to get this to the Supreme Court justices. So she worked together with a lawyer friend of ours, Philip Jeregi, and she wanted him to make sure everything was appropriate in the letter that she sent to the 9 justices of the U.S. Supreme Court. So all of these at least got into their hands. We know at least one of them actually participated in it, Justice Clarence Thomas. He sent us back a letter, a thank you letter, and thank God for him. Amen. He's been an anchor there, and we praise God for him. And just recently we got back home and we had another note handwritten from him, and we were just really encouraged by that, and thank God that the work is getting out there. If you'd put up the slide that has the CDs that are on the table back there. When we first came back to America, and let me just say that we did not want to come back from Israel. That wasn't in our plan. We thought we knew God's plan, but toward the end, he spoke to me very clearly. And I'm not one that goes around saying God spoke to me, but he spoke very clearly. And he said, it's not that you're having to leave Israel. He said, I am sending you back to the United States for such a time as this. We didn't know it was a time like this right now. But we made a trip. Some of you heard this, but just share it briefly. We went up to Haifa. We were celebrating, I think at that time, about our 38th wedding anniversary. It's been a few years since then and that we've been celebrating. But when we went up there, and I'm not into the message yet. I'm still going to need that slide of those back over there. When we went up there, he said, a very strong prophetic man that we have so much confidence in, he said, I've been praying for you guys for 2 days. And he said, I see Washington, D.C., and he said, over Washington, D.C., there's a key. It's like a kilometer long. And he said, several times, but it's very, very, very dirty. He said, God is sending you back to the United States for such a time as this through your worship and intercession. God is going to be using that and cleaning that key because he wants to bring his glory to Washington, D.C. How many understands God needs to move in Washington, D.C. and bring his glory there? And he said, he can't do that until that key is clean. So Karen and I, we have a passion, and we were careful. We are not missionaries, okay, because Israel has a different definition for that word. But we are people on a mission to see God's purposes, his kingdom come, his will be done. So when we first came back to the United States, we were hearing a lot of curses being spoken. So Karen, God gave her a lot of songs for We Bless Our Nation. After that, we did Israel's Treasure, the next one there. When we were back in Israel here in 2020, we were able to pass out a lot of these to our Jewish neighbors who love us and love our music, and we love them. They know what we're all about, but they still love us. And when we were over there, one of the times, and one of the Jewish neighbors, he's Orthodox, and it was so neat. We were there in his home, and we, by the way, the video you've seen, another one you'll see this morning as we finish up, you can find those on YouTube. So we had pulled up some of them on YouTube, Spirit of Truth, Pour All Over This Nation. And it got to the part where we have the Battle Hymn of the Republic. And it was so neat to see this Orthodox Jewish man singing, glory, glory, hallelujah. He was singing right along with it. And there was a lot of other things. I won't go into it because this is not time this morning. Then God put on Karen's heart, America Shall Be Saved. We were out 5:30 one morning walking. And it was before the Supreme Court call that we do every Friday morning. And this tune, America Shall Be Saved, it sounds a lot better with all the other stuff with it. But she began to sing that. It was just a spontaneous thing, just like the holy, holy, holy that you heard this morning. That came last week on the couch of, we were having devotion with her parents, and it just bubbled up out of her spirit. And that's, I'm constantly trying to learn songs and read her lips and what is she going to sing next, and is she going to sing the right words sometimes. But anyway, but I told her again this morning on the way here, and I mean it from the bottom of my heart, I'm looking forward to worshiping with you. And I enjoy that. If that's what I did full time and then go eat and come back and do it some more, because practically what we did the 7 years we were in Israel. So then she had a dream just a couple days after that. And in the dream, it was at the New York Stock Exchange, and all these people were rushing around saying, what do we need to do to make a profit? And she heard this big booming voice that sounded forth, and it said, if you really want to make a profit, put your money on America Shall Be Saved. Hallelujah. Mix your faith together with ours and believe God. God has the attention of America right now, and we're believing for a move of His Spirit. And then the Healer album, God began to move on healing songs, and she began to send some out. And since this album has come out, we've had many testimonies come back. And if you know somebody that needs healing, get a hold of this and put it in their hands. And then right in the middle of the Healer CD, God spoke to her, and go to the next one, that you need to do a pro-life CD. One of the times we spent a month in Washington, D.C., we were just behind the Supreme Court, and most of the songs on this particular album bubbled up out of that. Since that, some have picked up and begin to use this in their ministry and on their websites and so forth. So I just encourage you to pick up one of those. But let me just say, if what we wanted to say to the families of Living Waters, you've been so faithful and you stood with us so much. And we wanted to, if you would like a CD per household, we'd like to bless you with one. Just come by our table and pick it out, this for signing up. And but if you say, well, I'm sorry, I don't do CDs anymore. My car don't have one. Anybody heard that lately? Well, if you come by our table and you pull up our website, we can let you go to a place, pick out your CD, and we'll put in a code, and you get a free downloaded CD. So how's that? Will that work for everybody here? One more thing, and I'll be mentioning something out of this book this morning. This is by a friend of ours, Gene Little. It's Jerusalem, Lest I Forget Thee. It's back there on our table as well. So I encourage you to stop by and look it over. And if you haven't signed up for our newsletter, please do so. Can somebody say, we'll do it with God's help, all right? So this morning, the obvious text, Psalm 122. Which starts out by saying, I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. I don't know how it was for you, but I grew up with the mindset that he was talking about a church building. Because almost every Sunday morning as I was a kid growing up, this is what they said. I never had the concept that what they were actually speaking of was the pilgrimage that those were headed to Jerusalem in order to go to the temple to worship and to bless the Lord and spend time in the house of the Lord. They had been longing to go to Jerusalem for some time. Let me just have a... How many has been to Jerusalem here this morning? Yeah, amen. This is the only church that the majority of the people will raise their hand that's been there. But you have been there, and you've the 7 years we were there, I would walk the streets of Jerusalem, and there's nowhere in the world I've ever felt more at home than when I'm walking the streets of Jerusalem. Even in the home that we lived in for 10 years in Kentucky, because I knew practically the bank owned it, and it was our home, but you know how all that works. But when I would send out a sounding from my spirit, it just wasn't quite home. But the streets of Jerusalem, because of our Messiah, his time he spent there, he left from there, he's coming back to there. Hallelujah. He arose from the grave from there. And it has a sense of being at home. Every different places that we've been lately, when we get to talking about it, almost invariably somebody will come up and say, that's on my bucket list. I want to go. I've been wanting to go for some time, and I say, well, let's do it. It's time for you to go, or something like that. When it's God's time, he'll open up the doors. But then on this particular time, they had readied themselves to go to the temple. And imagine, it's not like we just kind of load everything in the car. They had to get things in the wagon or get things ready to go. And one of the things that always shocked me about Israel, when some things were real close, like the Mount of Olives, well, it's right over there. But when they said, tell them to go to Galilee and I'll meet them there, that's a good little walk. It takes you an hour and a half plus to drive it. And every time I've been driving, I'm thinking, walking? Yeah, you know, just come on up to Galilee. You know, translate me and I'll be there. But the time that it would take. So here they're finally, they get all the kids in the wagon and they start out. And how many knows what starts 5 minutes after they get on their journey? How many's had kids? What's the word they ask? Are we there yet? For the first of the 100th time as they begin to start. And then verse 2 says, our feet have been standing within your gates, O Jerusalem. Someone said that that's a good thing to say after we have been there. And we're looking back longingly and saying, our feet have been standing within your gates, O Jerusalem. And then verse 3, Jerusalem is built as a city that is compact together. And I remember, and by the way, this is going to be a shorter sermon than usual. I'm planning on about a 20-minute altogether, so I'm about 8 minutes into it, I think. So if I need to speed up, I will. But I remember on Shabbat, how many spent Shabbat in Israel? Isn't it lovely? It's like the whole place goes, and I would get out and I would just walk. And I loved walking down into especially the little packed, compacted together places in Jerusalem. And on purpose, I wouldn't even try to go in streets and areas that I knew. I would just walk. I remember sometime being down in Mia Shearim and getting lost a little bit down in there. But in some of the other, just walking, I knew eventually I'd find my way out of there. But to see how, as the scripture talks about where the tribes go up, how that Jerusalem is a city, verse 3, as a city that is compacted together, verse 4, where the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, to the testimony of Israel, to give thanks to the name of the Lord. Deuteronomy chapter 16, verse 16, talks about the fact that 3 times a year all your males shall appear before the Lord your God in the place which he has chosen, at the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the Feast of Weeks, and the feast that we're in, actually in right now, the Feast of Tabernacles, Sukkot. And then verse 5 says, for thrones are set there for judgment, the thrones of the house of David. And here we are coming to our main text this morning, verse 6. And that first word, pray. Pray. In our time spending with Philip Jeregi, and every Friday morning we're on a Supreme Court call where we do a little bit of worship We have our keyboard set up downstairs. I got it interfaced into it, and we do some worship and then spend time with praying for different points to do with the Supreme Court. I heard him say this that I'm about to say. He said that when in 2 Corinthians Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14, it says, "If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves," and each of these following phrases, he said it's different if it says "or." But when it says "and," you don't leave out anything. If it says "or," for example, Karen and I, if someone writes a check and it says Karen or Jerry, then she can sign it and not even tell me about it. And go cash it. Just kidding. But if it says "and," we're both required to sign. And I was thinking of Philip Jaregi. He said that if you were making a recipe, and I enjoy making and bake. I started this in Israel, baking chocolate chip cookies. Right now, we're trying not to eat them at our house. But when I go to her mom's house, we were just down there before we went to Ocala, Florida, and ministered there, but we were there for a few days. I made 5 batches of chocolate chip cookies. We'd make them, and we'd eat a few of them, and I'd freeze a bunch of them. I did that 5 different days, and so they'll be enjoying them. Her mom's 87 and her dad's 90, and they just love the chocolate chip cookies, and I enjoy making them. But if I were to make them and I leave out a few ingredients, as a matter of fact, when I was young and still living at home, I remember one time I just got a hankering. I never had baked any, so I baked some. But we didn't have all the ingredients, and those cookies turned out about that thin and about this big, you know. But if you leave out some of the ingredients, it won't happen right. If someone gave you directions how to go somewhere, and you said, "Well, I don't want to take all of those directions. Let me just take 2 out of them," you wouldn't end up at the same destination, would you? So when we're reading here this morning, when we pray, we need to include all the ingredients and all the crooks and turns. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and heal their land. I say here this morning, we need to pray, but we need to press on into seeking His face. We need to confess any sins that's on our heart. I've heard someone say, to the extent that we are not just like Yeshua, to that extent, we still need to repent. Anybody else besides me have some more repenting to do? I'm so glad that Jesus is still my Savior. I didn't stop needing a Savior at salvation. He's my Lord, but today He's still my salvation, my Savior. I appreciate the reality that Yeshua, when you see Yeshua in the old, when you see salvation in the English in the Old Testament, most of the time it is the Hebrew word Yeshua. His name will be called Yeshua, for He will save His people from their sins. Hallelujah. Thank God that He is doing that. So we're to pray for the peace, the shalom of Jerusalem. There's so many aspects to the word shalom that it is impossible to translate it into one word, peace. I rarely just say peace anymore. I like to just go on and expound as Pastor used to do here. But shalom means completeness, wholeness, health, peace, welfare, safety, soundness. And when I'm saying these things, think about Israel and our nation. We're on a dual track ministry. We have a passion to pray for Israel, and we have a passion to pray for the United States of America. Without God, we're finished, but we're not without God. Can you say amen? I can do all things through Messiah, the anointed one who gives me strength. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. So it means peace, welfare, safety, soundness, tranquility, prosperity, perfectness, fullness, rest, harmony, the absence of agitation or discord. How we need that. Shalom, it comes from a root word, salam. Recognize that as part of Jerusalem, meaning to complete, to be perfect, to be full. How do you translate all that into one word. Where there is shalom, there's tranquility. Where there is justice, sufficient food, clothing, housing, there is divine health. Lord, move with the divine health. With no sickness, shalom means no disorder, no injustice, no bribery. Move, Lord, in our nation with shalom. No corruption, no conflict, no lack, no hatred, no abuse, no violence, no pain, no suffering, no immorality. And as a rabbi said it, and the Word of God says, no good thing will be withheld when we have shalom. It was Yeshua, Jesus, who says to you and me, shalom this morning. And not only does He say that He is that He shalom to us, but He is our shalom. He is our peace. And so I want to briefly look at three different words when we're talking about Jerusalem. And I want us to think, when we think of Jerusalem, let's also think of Yeshua. They're so bound together, the Prince of Peace and Jerusalem. So being in Jerusalem, but also the force and the desire to be close to Yeshua, Messiah. Three words: longing, lingering, and lasting, or eternal. Luke chapter 13, verse 34 says, Jesus lamented over Jerusalem. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the one who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to him. How often I wanted, or the NIV says, how often I have longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, but you were not willing. Yeshua was expressing the longing heart of Abba, Father, to draw close unto himself, the Israel, his firstborn. I like what it says in Exodus 4:22. Then you shall say to Pharaoh, thus says the Lord, Israel, my son, my firstborn. Many of us know what it is to grieve over our firstborn. So there's the longing in the heart of the Father that He wants us to join in that longing with. Longing to see all of Israel saved, Romans chapter 11. Longing for that relationship to be connected with the Father. Longing for our heart to be more intricately connected with Yeshua Messiah. And then the second word, lingering. In 2 Chronicles 2:4, and I won't read the whole verse, but it talks about how that the morning and the evening sacrifice there at the very end. The morning and the evening sacrifice. In the book that I referred to and held up a little bit earlier, Jerusalem, Lest I Forget Thee by Gene Little, he writes in there, in the days of the temple sacrifices, the smell of burning incense rising from the holy site permeated the air. The sweet fragrance was so enveloping that the inhabitants of Jericho, some 15 miles distance from Jerusalem and 3,000 feet lower, recognized its source. Not only could they smell it, but their flocks also took on the same scent as well. Twice daily, during the morning and evening sacrifices, a priest would enter the holy place with the fire from the altar of the burnt offerings. Here the hot coals were placed on the altar of incense. The altar stood directly in the front of the Holy of Holies, separated only by a veil. Aren't you glad there's no veil in between and we can enter right in? The incense was spread upon the burning coals, and immediately the smoke rose above the altar and filled the air with a sweet aroma and scent. In Jewish records, it was said that the incense fragrance was so lovely that the women of Jerusalem never had to wear perfume. That would put Chanel and some of those places out of business, wouldn't it? The intensity of the sweet aroma coming from the temple infused their very being. They were saturated with it. And it was said that even the brides of the holy city had no need to anoint themselves with special fragrances, since the holy incense covering their bodies had no equal. It was said that all of Israel could tell who was from Jerusalem just by the sweet odors emanating from their presence. As I was reading that, I was thinking, and some of you already know where I'm going with this, how that they looked at Peter, James, and John, and they thought, these people, they're not educated, but we understand the difference in them was they had been with Jesus. There's another scripture that in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14, 15. Now thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Messiah, the Anointed One, through us diffuses the fragrance of His knowledge in every place. For we are God to God the fragrance of Messiah, the Anointed One, among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. So the lingering, lingering with Him. I try every night and every morning to spend time when I wake up before I go to sleep. And sometimes I'll say it out loud to Karen, look into the face of God. Right now, as I'm standing before you this morning, I am looking into the face of God. I'm looking into His reality. I'm looking into His presence. I'm enjoying His nourishment, and the fragrance of Him is to be upon us when we go out into the marketplace, when we go out into the world, that somehow or another we become the true ecclesia that is going forth to be who we are called to be, impacting a culture with Jesus' fragrance upon us. I remember our former landlord, we got to have a meal with them when we were back in Israel this time, and it was such a special time. Another family who aren't believers in God through Yeshua yet. But he told Karen, and I wasn't around, Karen shared this, and he would come by to fix things, and he was such a great landlord, and he loved us because we took care of things. But he said, I was ultra-Orthodox until about age 19, 20. I forget exactly what age it was, he said. Had everything. But he said, I began to look around. He said, some of the meanest people I knew were very religious. He said, I don't want any more part of that. And he said, I don't even believe in God anymore. But he looked at Karen and he said, if I ever believe in God again, it'd be because of people like you all. That's the fragrance. I remember our next door neighbor who his mom has gone on to be with the Lord now, or gone on. We're praying that she came to faith in God. But he told his mom and kept saying, please have them over for Shabbat. And he described Karen, and he's an 18-year-old young man. And he said, she's so cute. How many understands? That's the fragrance. That's the beauty of the Lord. That's the reality of Christ in us, the hope of glory. And so there's to be that longing relationship and interacting and for them and for us. And that lingering of being in His presence till we impact others. But then, last of all, the word lasting or eternal. And I think of this, and I don't know how it's all going to happen in the end. I've studied eschatology, and I would encourage you to study end times. But let me encourage you to be open to the word of the Lord that's proceeding out of the mouth of God. One of the reasons that they missed the visitation when Yeshua came first, Jesus, when He came first, was because they had it all marked out. It's going to happen this way and this way and this way, and we're going to take over Rome and blah, blah. I would encourage you, begin to seek God's face and say, Lord, I just want to listen to You. Thank God for all the teachers. Thank God for all of the thing. But what I want to know is what You're saying in the here and in the now. But I know that Israel and Jerusalem has the temporal, and we love Jerusalem. But there's an eternal, there's a lasting aspect of Jerusalem that I don't completely know how to explain. And if you know how to explain it to me, see me afterward and I'll listen with rapt attention. But Revelation chapter 21, then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband, the new Jerusalem, the one. Then one of the seven angels, verse 9, who had the seven bowls filled with seven last plagues, came to me and talked to me, saying, "Come and I'll show you the bride, the Lamb's wife." And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me the great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God and having the glory of God. Her light was like a most precious stone, like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. So there's a lasting aspect of Jerusalem and our connection and our relationship. Longing, lingering, lasting. Put all that in there. The longing we're looking, it's kind of like looking back. The lingering, it's being with him in the now. And the lasting, we're looking forward to his coming back and his soon return. May they prosper who love you. That's a prayer that Karen and I pray for those people often that are standing with us, that are praying for us, that are supporting us. And so we pray this morning for the peace of Jerusalem. We believe that we are part of the fulfillment of Isaiah chapter 2, verse 3. And the latter part of that says, "For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem." Karen is going to come up and join me. And we're going to enter in praying for the peace of Jerusalem. Peace be within your walls, prosperity within your palaces. For the sake of my brethren and companions, I will now say, peace be within you. Because of the house of the Lord, I will seek your good. Can you say amen? Amen. She's getting her microphone. She forgot that she didn't have a built-in microphone.
I adapted these prayer points and made them my own, but I used as a template from Intercessors for America. They had a good article, but like I said, I've totally redrafted and changed a lot of it. But I want Jerry to do the first one, and if you could go ahead and do it.
So we were going to have other leaders come up and pray this, but because of the time that we're in and so forth, so I'm going to pray one, we're going to go back and forth, and when we get to the very last one, I'm going to ask us to join together in concert. It's a little bit lengthy, but I believe every one of these points are important. And so we pray for Israel's leaders. We pray for Prime Minister Netanyahu and alternate Prime Minister Benny Gantz as they lead the nation together. And we declare Psalm 133, how good and how pleasant it is when brethren dwell together in unity. We declare their spiritual eyes opened to know and accept Yeshua as their Messiah and Lord.
We pray for the U.S. to support the undivided state of Israel. Zechariah 12:9, "And it shall be in that day I will seek to destroy all the nations that come against Jerusalem." Genesis 12:3, "I will bless those who bless you and I will curse those who curse you." We pray that both President Trump and Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu would be committed to seeking only a single state solution for Israel. We pray that any plan and quest for a two-state solution would be dropped. We bless our leaders' friendship with righteousness and clear communication, with the absence of any selfish motivations or ungodly compromise. We pray that President Trump and every person in the Trump administration connected with any peace plan would be flooded with revelation of the Word of God and fully understand no dividing of the land of Israel.
We pray for the Jewish people to know Yeshua, Messiah, Christ, the Anointed One, and accept him as Lord. We pray and declare Zechariah 12 and 10, "I will pour out on the house of David and on the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and supplication. Then they will look upon him whom they have pierced. Yes, they will mourn for him as one mourns for his only son and grieve for him as one grieves for his firstborn." We declare Romans 11:26, "And so all Israel shall be saved. As it is written, the deliverer will come out of Zion and will turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant with them when I take away their sins."
We pray for the protection of the Jewish people, its defenses in the land of Israel. We speak shalom over Israelis who live in a state of constant alert. We pray for protection for Israel from their biggest threats, Iran, Hamas, and Hezbollah. We pray that the hostilities from the United States would subside in Jesus' name.
We pray that anti-Semitism throughout the world would be challenged and not tolerated. Where there is hatred, we pray for love. Where there has been injury, we pray for pardon. Where there is prejudice, we pray for acceptance. We pray against the rise in anti-Semitism in college campuses and here in America. We declare our youth will know the truth about Israel and love them.
We pray for Aliyah to increase and protection for those who journey to Israel. We pray Isaiah 43:5-7. Fear not, for I am with you. I will bring your descendants from the east and gather you from the west. I will say to the north, give them up, and to the south, do not keep them back. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the ends of the earth. Everyone who is called by my name, whom I have created for my glory, I have formed him. Yes, I have made him. We pray that the next prime minister of Israel will be able to continue this law of return. And I'm skipping over some things, so now we're on eight.
We pray for Messianic Jews to be filled with Yeshua's love. And your love, Lord, pouring out both on unbelievers and believers and Yeshua alike. We pray for them to be encouraged and to receive favor with God and the people as they worship their Messiah, Christ the Anointed One, as Lord and make him known. We pray that they are a light to the nations. We pray for their boldness and for great fruit from their outreach, and for increase in the Messianic Israelis in the nation of Israel.
We pray for that. We pray for Gentile believers here in the U.S. and worldwide would continue to stand with God's beloved. For you are a people holy to the Lord. The Lord your God has chosen you out of all the peoples on the face of the earth to be his people, his treasured possession. The Lord did not set his affection on you and choose you because you were more numerous than other peoples, for you were the fewest of all peoples. But it was because the Lord loved you and kept the oath he swore to your ancestors, that he brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you from the land of slavery, from the power of Pharaoh, King of Egypt.
We pray for the Palestinians to be brought to faith in Yeshua. We ask for the sinful patterns of generational hatred toward the Jewish people to be cleansed off of these Arabs and Muslim people by the blood of Jesus. We pray for Ishmael to receive the blessing the Lord has spoken for him in the Holy Scriptures. And where am
Genesis
I?
7.
And for Ishmael, I have heard you. Behold, I have blessed him and will make him fruitful and will multiply him exceedingly. He shall beget 12 princes, and I will multiply him exceedingly. Father, we pray in Jesus' name that all of Ishmael, which means God hears, would receive Yeshua as their Savior and Lord, and that they would be raised up as a mighty blessing of intercessors on behalf of Israel's salvation in the coming days.
Yes, amen. We ask you, God, to help all of us share your love for your people, Israel. May our prayers for Israel this day and beyond unleash a blessing on Israel and their relationship with God. We declare Psalm 122. We pray for the peace, the shalom of Jerusalem. We pray that God's destiny for Israel would be completely fulfilled.
So hang with us just a little bit longer. Let's press in faith. We pray for the end of this virus in both our nation, can you say amen, and the nation of Israel. Lord, we have mercy upon Israel. If you, Lord, should mark iniquity O Lord, who could stand? But there is forgiveness with you, that you may be feared. O Israel, hope in the Lord. O Israel, hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy, and with him is abundant redemption, and he shall redeem Israel from all his iniquities.
Amen. We pray for the attention of Jewish hearts to be turned to the Holy Scriptures during this shut-in time. We pray that they will find you, Lord, as their provider, their good shepherd, their Savior,
yes.
And that a saving revelation will flood each home and heart in Yeshua's mighty and glorious name.
And now let's all look at the screen and let's say this last one together. And Karen's going to sing it, say it with me as well. All together. We pray for Ezekiel 36 to be activated now. For I will take you from the nations and gather you out of all countries and bring you into your own land. Then I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean. I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from all your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and do them. Then you shall dwell in the land, and I will be your fathers. You shall be my people, and I will be your God. I will deliver you from all your uncleanness. I will call forth the grain and multiply it and bring no famine upon you. We bless Israel in Yeshua's name. Amen. 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 Amen.